Let's stand up together as we read from Isaiah 61. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I pray right now for a mindset shift in this place. Something happened. I don't know what it is, but our minds, it just shifted. It's like we're in neutral and we're not moving forward, and we're just sitting there. Lord, I pray today that we would just move, that you would move us, that something would just kickstart the engine again, that there would just be fire and fuel, that the flame would be fanned today. We just want to stir the flame up today in the name of Jesus. I just feel a stiffness, like just nobody's been moving. Everybody's just been sitting, and we're not active anymore. We got to get active again. We just got to move. We settled and we got into complacency, and so we just repent of complacency. Lord, I pray for hard hearts that just need to be just kind of ripped up and broken, just the stone removed. I pray for the hammer and fire of your word to just break everything off and burn everything away that does not belong. Jesus, we love you, we love you, we love you. We proclaim your goodness, your mercy. Things are going to shift in this room as we read your word. It won't just be fake. It won't be lip service. It won't be religion. It'll be genuine change. Lord, I pray just for a breaking today. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would just move right now, that you would just move in this place. Where two or more are gathered, you are there. We know you're here in the midst of us. Lord, I pray that you would minister and move right now, that you would go ahead of your word that's about to be declared. Lord, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat wherever you are. Luke 4, verse 16. Talking about Jesus. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, his hometown. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." At the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, what's he do? He gives his mission statement. This is what he was called to, what he was created. This is what he was sent for. This was his purpose, why he was sent to earth. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." Another version would say to set the captives free, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This comes from Isaiah 61. If you want the notes today, you can text Rev Notes to the number 94,000. You'll get all the scriptures, everything I'm looking at right there. All one word, Rev, R-E-V, Notes. It's his mission statement. It's why he came, to set captives free. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. That means that there are captives and there are those who are oppressed. We need eyes to see, ears to hear. We need soft hearts today. Sometimes I think we come in here and we forget and we don't get it. And we have to get it today. We have to get it today. I feel I'm starting to come into the room. There's just a lot of hardness and a lot of pride right now, okay? We think we got it. We think we got it figured out. No, in this season, I think we're missing it. There's something that we're missing. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. This is the mission of revival. To rebuild the old ruins. The church moved into a place where they said, we can build something better. And they actually moved away from the Word and His blueprint. And they said, no, that's kind of old and that's outdated. We can build something better, something more modern, something a little more progressive, something that kind of fits what these modern people want and what they're hungry for, what their itching ears desire to hear. There's people in the church that thought they could do better than what the Word gave us, than His blueprint says. And so they started to build a new format and a new blueprint, and it's not the original blueprint that He gave us. And then they started to write theology textbooks and things like that and said, no, we actually know better. We don't need Acts. We don't need the apostles. We don't need the prophets. No, we can build something better out of our own power, out of our own strength. And so they started to come up with theology to explain away the power of God, to explain away the power of the Holy Spirit, to explain why He doesn't move anymore like He used to. He still does. It's a powerless Christianity that's formed in the West. And we've lost sight of the mission. Because the mission just became the machine and the machine of the church. If we just create bigger and better services, and if we have just enough fog machines, and if we have enough LED boards, and if we do a big enough show, and if we do some kind of cool dance or some secular song, we can draw people into the machine of the church that the world has created. And the machine is just bringing people in, but nobody's getting discipled. Nobody's growing. We're just drinking the same milk over and over. We got to get the meat. We got to get the meat. I grew up in the machine. I went through the machine. I went to church, and we had programs, and we did things, and we did events. And then I worked in a church, and we had programs, and we did events, and the events are what draw people in. We just got to get people in, and then they'll hear the gospel message. And so that's what we did. We got people in, we shared Jesus, and then we shared a bunch of just kind of stupid stories and illustrations because nobody actually knew how to preach the word. People forgot about the word. They forgot about the old ruins. What'd they do? They started to build out of their own power and their own strength. But what's he tell us to do? Rebuild the old ruins. Get back to his word. He's given us a blueprint. He's given us a blueprint for how to build the church. I better not say that. I'll get in trouble. I can't find whatever fill in the stupid event. And I don't care. Churches can do events. That's fine. But that's all a lot of churches do anymore. They just do an event after event. And they just do rock show after rock show. And it's great. I don't care. I love good music. I love good worship music. But then they get up here and then they preach. And I hear maybe one scripture. And then I hear a bunch of stories and a bunch of illustrations. And that's what I was taught. Like when I went to Bible college, I was taught, oh, you get in and you just, you know, maybe just share a little scripture. But then you got to have good illustrations because that's what moves people. And I just heard a bunch of preachers get up here and they would tell a bunch of stories and illustrations and it would just kind of pull at your heart sometimes, or it would make you laugh, or it would make you feel something. But I got this revelation a few years back when I was first leaving my previous ministry and stepping in to what God had called us into to fight for revival in this city and in this country and in this world. Amen. Amen. When I was called to it, I kept looking back at my old methods and what I did, and I would spend 20 hours working on a sermon, and I would just, you know, I would get into the scriptures, but I had all these books about illustrations and stories, and I'd be looking for the right stories and the right illustrations because that's what moves people. No, the Word of God will move people. The Word of God will move people. But all I knew because of the system I grew up in and the system I saw was you got to have these good stories to motivate people. And what are you doing? You're not motivating, you're manipulating. What is it? It's witchcraft. And some of you don't think it. You're like, oh, witchcraft, that doesn't exist in the church. No, no, no. You don't. It's more than just spells and potions. Like that stuff still goes on today. There's still people practicing that type of witchcraft. But there's another type of witchcraft that works its way into the church. And it's manipulation. It's control. It's domination. It's emotional manipulation. And that's all we knew. Man, if you just tell enough good stories, people will feel something. And then they'll make a decision to follow Jesus. No, no, no. Just go to the Word. Just go to the Word. The Holy Spirit will convict and change and transform lives. And so we go to the Word. We go to the old ruins that the church left behind and said, oh, no, no, that's outdated. Repentance, we don't want to talk about repentance. That might hurt people's feelings. Good, let them be hurt. Let them be convicted. That's what the hurt is. It's conviction. Conviction leads to repentance. Repentance leads to transformation. It brings new life. I remember sitting in this Bible college, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to say one thing. They did a good job teaching the Word. Theology, man, they gave us this book, The Faith Once for All by Jack Cottrell. To some people, this was more of the Bible than this was. They said, this guy's an expert. He knows it all. He studied it all. And so this is what they would have you go through. I don't know, you know, and I don't know where this man is at today. I don't know where he stands, what he stands on anymore. But I know in college, this is what I was taught. And I hadn't pulled this out in a long time. And I was thinking, why did I used to believe some of the things I believed? Why did I used to think some of the things I thought? I thought I had God all figured out. I mean, I graduated Bible college at 22, 23, right around there. And I thought I had it all figured out. I'd read the Bible. I knew theology. I knew it all. And it's like, yeah, I got all the answers. If somebody's telling you they got all the answers, no. No. God is infinite. If somebody's telling you they got it all figured out, they don't. If somebody's telling you like they've made it, they've arrived, like this guy, he's got it all. He figured it all out. That's what we were literally, like every professor, everybody in there, it was like, just check what Cottrell says. Check what Cottrell says. Let's check what Jesus says. You have the mind of Christ in you. Ask him to lead you and guide you into all the truth, guide you into all the answers. He wants to teach you. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's the counselor. Let him teach you. Let him counsel you. Let him. I didn't need Jack Cottrell. I needed the Holy Spirit, but nobody told me that. I opened this up today. And I just was like, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And Jack Cottrell sums it up in 14 pages. 14 pages. Shut up. I mean, I remember starting to go through Scripture again 4 years ago and just reading it with a fresh lens and just being like, Lord, I thought I knew. I thought I had my whole life figured out. I thought I knew everything. I thought I knew. I was like, I know what I'm called to. I know what I'm going to do. I know what I've been made for. I know all the answers in the Bible. I can give you every answer. I knew it all. And all of a sudden, my life gets turned upside down, and I'm not doing what I thought I was doing anymore. All of a sudden, that call and that vision for my life that I thought I had and I thought I understood, all of a sudden, it's not possible anymore. And I'm like, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this, Lord? And he said, just learn to listen to me. Learn to trust me again. Learn to walk with me again. And so I just started going to the Word, and I started going back, and he started undoing and breaking all the stuff of my old life, all the hardness, everything I'd been wired to believe that I knew, and I thought, oh, I got it all figured out, and it had just been hardwired into me, and he just started going in and just ripping out all the hard stuff that doesn't belong anymore. And he said, I want to make your heart soft so you can actually receive my word again fresh. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you would just put your hand into somebody's heart and that anything that's hard and doesn't belong, that you would just, like, it's just like wires. I just see these wires and they're steel and they're metal. I just see wires in people's hearts. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would reach in and that you would rip them, that you would tear them apart in the name of Jesus Christ right now. Somebody's going to receive something today because something just got broken off you. It got broken off. Let me tell you something. I went back and looked at this book today. I hadn't looked at this book in a long time. It was a tough class. It was a tough professor. He taught you how to, like, just, you know, and he taught you how to, like, start to read with a pen and a highlighter, highlight stuff and put stuff down. And so I started going through it. And I started looking at it. My goodness, like, just the more I looked, the more I was like, Lord, how did I ever get to this place? How did I ever come into agreement with any of this? Page 297. My judgment is that the Holy Spirit is not giving miraculous gifts to Christians today. This is called the cessationist view, i.e., miraculous gifts ceased at the end of the apostolic era. This conclusion is based on several lines of reasoning. And he goes on. And he goes on. And you just keep going and going. And it's all based on, there's just one main scripture that he bases it on. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. The partial talking about the gifts. And he says, the perfect is when the New Testament was finished. But when you go back and you read that and you ask the Holy Spirit to tell you, to teach you, it's clear the perfect is Jesus. When Jesus comes back, he is the perfect. He's coming back. So what's that mean? The Holy Spirit is still active and still moves and still speaks, and the gifts are still for today. I got you with me, brother. There you go. I got you with me. I started going through this, and I'm like, I repent right now in the name of Jesus for ever coming into agreement with some of these lies. I repent in the name of Jesus for ever coming into agreement. I just got to publicly repent for that. He's brought me into a place of change and transformation. But as I went back today and I was trying to figure out why was I wired this way? Because somebody just, it feels better if somebody has all the answers, right? It feels better if there's an expert you can turn to. And I keep having people ask me questions in this season. And it really, for the last couple years, I keep having people ask me questions as we've stepped into faith and believing for all that God has for us, for this church. There's things that we've begun to see that he's given us revelation on. That sometimes our health and our sickness is actually tied to our sin. You can see that in Corinthians. You can find that there. When you begin to read it with fresh eyes, all of a sudden you begin to see there's some type of connection there. And so sometimes people want to know, okay, well, is it always this? Is it this every time? And everybody wants this black and white answer, and people keep coming to me and asking me. I'm like, sometimes. And that bothers people. That bothers people. Sometimes it might be the discipline of the Lord. Sometimes it might be you've stepped into disobedience. Sometimes it might be he's just trying to teach you and show you something and reveal something to you. Sometimes it's because you're not resting and he just has to slow your body down and you need to rest. There's so many different things, but everybody wants it black and white. It's got to be always this way, this is how it always is. No. You can't put it into black and white. You can't put him in a box. It's different every time. Sometimes it looks like Job. Sometimes it's the devil. Sometimes it's the Lord. Sometimes it's natural consequences of this earth. But everybody wants to know, no, it's got to always be this. No, I don't know. All I know is you need to start asking the Holy Spirit. Go to him. I went to this for so long, and I relied on this. I built my life on this. I built my ministry on this. This was my foundation. Everything. This was my Bible. I didn't realize it until I went back and started looking this morning when I pulled this off the shelf and I started to see all the things I highlighted and I starred. I starred some of these things. I was like, good, I know the answer now. Good, I know the answer now. I got all the answers. I got nothing. But I got the Holy Spirit, and he's a good teacher. He's a good counselor. You also, if you have given your life to Jesus, it says when you confess your sins and repent, when you confess him as Lord and Savior, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's a good teacher. He's a counselor. He's a comforter. He does all the things that you need. He'll give you more than Jack Cottrell could ever give you. I don't know where he is today. I pray that he's gotten a revelation of who he is. And that he still moves, that he still works, that he's not done. He's a teacher, counselor, and comforter. So in this season, there's some of you he's teaching, he's showing you something, he's counseling you. Take what you're dealing with, take it to him, let him counsel you, and then let him comfort you. Some of you, you want these answers, and you want to know, well, why is this happening? What's going on? I need to know, Lord. Like, just tell me. He's the comforter. Let him comfort you in this season. Or why am I sick? Let him comfort you. Invite him in to comfort you. And then invite him in. Show me, Lord. Show me. What are you teaching me? What are you showing me? Is this from the devil? Is this from you? Is this discipline? What do you want me to get out of this season, Lord? And then start to go to the promises. Go to his word, because there are promises in there, and there's things he wants to teach you and show you that you can put your faith in. And just begin to build up faith in this season. Amen. I like this guy. I love it. We're coming into agreement with the Word of God. They shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. You're part of the holy priesthood. You shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Some of you are living in poverty and saying, this is all the Lord has for me. No. What's this say here? What's this say? You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Some of you have settled for poverty because of the poverty gospel. And some of you, you've heard such bad things about the prosperity gospel. You're like, well, we got to stay way away from that. That was me. That was Jack Cottrell. Just anything prospering, anything prosperity, you just stay away from. No. It says, you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. Let him direct our work in truth, and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. Your soul can be joyful today in God because he has clothed you with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, what you sow, you shall reap. If you sow sparingly, you shall reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you shall reap generously. Some of you are like, why am I living in poverty? What are you sowing? You're sowing sparingly. You are. Why? Like, why isn't God doing anything for me? He's saying, I've given you seed, sow it. You keep holding on to it. You want him to bless your harvest. You haven't sowed anything. You haven't put your faith on anything. Put your faith in something. It starts with your money. It starts with your riches. Some of you, you sow in faith in this house. You have sowed in faith in this house. You've sowed generously. You've reaped generously. Don't just say, oh, it's just good luck, it's good fortune. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Don't give credit to luck. Don't give credit to good luck or bad luck or good fortune or bad fortune. It's the Lord. When you sow generously, you reap generously. It's a biblical principle. Seed time and harvest. Some of you are like, man, I never have enough. Look at your bank account. Look at your bank account when you go home today. Are you giving him your first and your best? When Abraham came back from war, the war of kings, he met Melchizedek, who was a priest and king. What did he do? He gave him the first and the best of the spoils. Did Melchizedek demand it? No. Did he say, hey, you better give me that? You better give me mine? No. Is the Lord here today? Is he demanding it? No. He's not demanding it. But should you give to the king first? Yeah, two people said that was good. I know. I know that's hard. I know that's hard. You're like, well, this economy. You think the Lord doesn't know about the economy? You think the Lord isn't aware of what's going on? You don't know my family situation. You don't know my housing situation. You don't. It's faith. Put some faith on it. Put some faith on it. Well, 10% seems like a lot. The government takes 30. They take it. They take it. Put some faith on it. Like, I'm not seeing God move. I'm not seeing God move. He's saying, I haven't seen you move. I see where your priorities are. You got money for Taylor Swift tickets, but you don't got money to give to me. I'm serious. You got money for this. You got money to go to the Huskers. You got money to go see your favorite NFL team. You got money for this, but you can't give me your first and best. You give me your last and least. You give me your leftovers. That's what he's seeing. We've told people at this church all the way from the beginning. We don't ask for your money for us. It's for him. It's a tithe and then an offering. The tithe is the first 10%. Some of you are cheating him. You're robbing him of the tithe. What's it say in Malachi? If you don't tithe, let's go. Go here. Go here. Malachi 3. Go to Malachi 3. It's at the end of the Old Testament. Right before Matthew. Look what he says. Some of you are like, I never have enough. I never have enough. My life is hard. Life is hard. I never have enough. Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? That's the tithe. If you're not tithing, you are robbing God. This is God's word. You have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, bring all the tithes, that's the 10, the first 10%, the offerings or anything above that, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Test him. Test him and see. I don't care. I know who my provider is. Some people are like, well, I mean, I see that pastor. He's wearing new shoes. He's fine. He doesn't need my money. You're right. I don't need your money because you're not my provider. He's my provider. This whole church, you can stop giving today. I don't care. I know who my provider is. It's not man. It's God. That's what you got to get inside you in this season. He's your provider. He's for you, not against you. Step into faith. Step into the promise. This is a promise. He's going to open up the windows of heaven for you. But you're living like a pauper. You're living in poverty, and you're clenching onto seed. You're like, no, this is all I got. This is all I have. And he's saying, no, son, that seed, daughter, that seed, that wasn't meant to be held on to and to be eaten. That was meant to be sowed so I can actually give you a harvest of real food. You're living on seed. I've said this before. I eat sunflower seeds when I go to softball games. Am I satisfied after that? No, I'm still hungry. I want Chipotle. I want real food. You're living on seed. Sow it. He wants to give you real food in the name of Jesus Christ. There we go. Now some people came into agreement with the word of God. Sow it. Stop holding on to seed. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. There's a devourer. There's an enemy. There's a battle. There's a war. There are captives who need to be set free. Some of you, you can get free today. It starts with getting free from the love of money. Money is not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Some of you love money and you're not free because you don't give. Get delivered today. You serve a demon. You serve an idol. Get delivered today in the name of Jesus. You can clap for that, brother. You can clap for that. Get delivered today. You keep holding on to it. You keep clenching it. And he's saying, I'll protect you, but you got to step into obedience. Bring the tithes and offerings into the storehouse today. And some of you are like, well, listen, this is for all my hosts. I have people come up here and host. I have elders come up and host. I have pastors. I have different people come up and host. This is for everybody, okay? Many times our hosts will get up here, and they've been so trained and conditioned from past churches that sometimes something will kind of slip out. And I just noticed it today. And I want to tell you something, okay? I think every one of our hosts has said this at some point or another. But they'll kind of say, like, there's lots of ways to give. You can give of your time. You can give serving. You can give. There's one way to give tithes and offerings, okay? He wants your time, talent, and treasure. Treasure is what you're holding on to. And some of you are saying, well, I serve at the coffee bar, or I greet sometimes, or I serve in kids, so that's how I tithe. That's not a tithe. I'm going to set you free today. You're like, I'm doing all this stuff. I'm doing all this stuff for the Lord, and I'm not free. Are you giving? Are you giving? If not, then you're not free. Mammon, you serve mammon. It's a lord. It's a false idol. It's a god of your life. But when you release that 10%, all of a sudden you get free. And all of a sudden, those things in the world that you kept caring about, trying to keep up with everybody, trying to keep up appearances, trying to dress a certain way, trying to drive a certain car, whatever, all of a sudden, you're released from it. And guess what? He'll still prosper you. You're actually going to become more prosperous and advance. As your soul, 3 John, go to 3 John. Sometimes stuff just hits me. 3 John, beloved, I pray that you may prosper. People are like, we got to stay away from the prosperity gospel. Boy, he uses the word prosper a lot in his word. I'm going to tell you something. When you start all the way back at the beginning and you go to the end, he uses the word, the Lord uses the word prosper a lot. And so if you're in here today and you're like, we got to stay away from the prosperity gospel, you're going to miss a lot of the gospel. What I say about the labels a few weeks back, straight to hell, right? Stop getting caught up in the labels, because some of you have been so caught up in the labels, you didn't realize you were so busy running from the prosperity gospel that you've been living in the poverty gospel. And you're saying, well, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You got to learn the word. You got to get the word in you. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Well, that sounds like health and wealth. Take it up with John. Some of you are like, well, Pastor, that sounds like health and wealth gospel. Take it up with John. You don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with John. You have a problem with the Word of God. If you don't like what I just said, you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with the Word of God. Take it to him. Take it to the counselor. Take it to the teacher. I'm confessing to you. This was me for years. I would look at all these prosperity preachers, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, what a joke, what a joke, what a joke. But then I started to see, like, some of these guys, there's some actual, like, fruit on their lives. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden my eyes got open to the power of the Holy Spirit and the movement of the Holy Spirit, and I began to see, oh, there's real fruit here. There's a fruitfulness here. And some of these guys that people were saying, oh, they're just grown. Their churches are just grown because they're prosperity churches. And they just say nice things and they do nice things. Like, actually, I've been listening to some of them, and like, they preach the gospel. They preach repentance. They preach transformation. They preach truth. Prospering is more than just your health and wealth, though. What's he saying? It starts with your soul. This is a church. This is a house where people's souls have prospered and advanced. And as your souls have prospered and advanced, you've actually, maybe you haven't even taken an accounting yet of what's been going on, but actually your health and your finances, if you would take an accounting of where you were when you began going to revival and where you are now, take an accounting and look at it, and you'd begin to see, oh my goodness, I guess things have gotten better. I guess things are better. They've prospered. They've prospered. As your soul has prospered, so has your health, so has your financial situation, your provision. But even if all that gets taken away, if you lost everything, if you lost your health, if you lost your wealth, could you still sit and say that Jesus is enough? Could you be satisfied in that? That's when you know your soul is prospering. I feel that today. I feel that for so many of you in here. You got that revelation. Some of you, you've been trying to avoid it, and you've just been scared of it. No. Just let your soul, let him prosper your soul. Let him advance you. Let him move you forward. And as he prospers your soul, you'll see all these other areas. They're advancing. They're moving forward. But even if you lost it all and you still had Jesus, he would be more than enough. Worship team, would you come up as we get ready to close? I feel the Holy Spirit so strong in this place. I feel healing in this place. If you need prayer for healing, come forward today. Our ministry team, would you come forward, be ready to receive people? We're going to pray for healing today. We're going to pray for financial breakthrough. There's some of you, you just need to repent because you have been robbing God of the tithes and offerings. You have. You are looking right now at your financial situation in your head, and you're saying, oh, I make this much, but I'm giving him 1%. I'm giving him 2%. I'm challenging you today. Move to 10%. That is literally what the tithe means, 1/10. Move to 10% in the name of Jesus today. And here's what I'm inviting you into. We call it the tithe challenge here at Revival. Do it for a month. Do it for 2 months. I don't care. Do it for 3 months. Come and tell us, hey, I'm taking the tithe challenge. And if after a month or after 2 months or after 3 months, you're looking at your finances and things are not better, things are actually worse, and you're like, hey, I want my money back. We'll give you your money back. I know it sounds crazy, right? But that's how confident I am in the Word of God. That's how confident I am in the Word of God. Guess what? We've been doing this for years. We offer this every so often, the tithe challenge. You know how many people have come up to me and said, hey, I want my money back? Zero. Zero. There's some of you, you've kind of been close. You're like, well, I mean, it's 8%, it's 9%, it's 7%. It's close enough. That's complacency. Complacency has set in. Some of you are like, well, I used to give nothing, and then I started giving this. At least I'm giving this, right? Isn't that good enough? It was good for that season when you were an infant, when you were a baby, and you took your first step of faith. It's time to take a bigger step of faith. You're not a baby anymore. You're not drinking milk anymore. You're eating the meat. You understand? This is for you today. Take a greater step of faith. Put some faith on it. We got too many things to do that we're called to as a house. We can't be caught up living in the past and living like babies anymore. We're called to maturity. We're called to advance. We're called to set the captives free in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you are sick of living in poverty. He's sick of you living in poverty. What's he saying? I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I'll rebuke the enemy. Right now, you haven't stepped into obedience. There's nothing I can do. That's what he's saying. It's on you. You haven't taken the step of obedience. You are in disobedience. When you live in disobedience, when you live outside his law, when you live on your own terms, he's saying, I can't protect you out there. You're outside of my house. You're not actually planted in my house, planted in my word. There's nothing I can do to help you out there. But if you step into my house, I'll be a wall around you. I'll be a shield. I'll protect you. I'll guide you. I'll lead you. Don't you want that today? I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. The nations are going to look at the church in this next season and say they're blessed. There's something supernatural about them. The church is about to take land and territory and prosper and advance in new ways that we've never seen before. Generations to come will look at it and say, my goodness, what could it be except for the hand of the Lord? There's a blessing, and you can step into it today. You can be a part of it today. It's by faith. Step forward today. He's got more for you. Stop living in fear. Hebrews 10:39 says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. This is not a church that draws back. This is a church that fights forward. We advance. We prosper. In the name of Jesus, everything you do, you're going to begin to see a prospering in this season. See that you've sown in past seasons. You're going to see the harvest beginning to come forth. Take an accounting of the harvest so you don't miss it. If you don't take an account of the harvest, you'll miss it and you'll take for granted what God has been doing in your life. Take an accounting in this season for how he's blessed you, for how your soul has prospered, for how your health has prospered, for how every area of your life has prospered. Look at him and give him praise in this season. But above all, we just say that Jesus, you are more than enough. Let's stand and worship as we say that, as we declare that today. He's more than enough. He's more than enough.